Are you looking for Brew Day inspiration? Do you want to take a deep dive into the technical side of brewing? Visit brewerspublications.com and discover the latest titles from experts and award-winning brewers. Brewers Publications books cover a variety of beer topics from alt beer to Zwickel and everything in between. Shop brewerspublications.com and take your brewing to the next level. brewerspublications.com. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, December 13th, 2018. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, Steve and I taste the sixth hop sampler featuring Lemon Drop, German Mandarina Bavaria, and Simcoe. We also introduce and propose the concept of the Hop Stand Bittering Unit, or HSBU. Go to basicbrewing.com. You can find archives of our audio and video shows, our DVDs, our brewer's logbooks, and other Basic Brewing gear, including our tie-dye silicone pints and our Brewing Rainbow shirts. You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Basic Brewing and find our show page on Facebook. We have a cool Basic Brewing app on iTunes and Amazon.com, and we're found all over the place where fine podcasts are served up. If you'd do us the favor of rating us on iTunes and maybe leaving a nice comment, they say that that will help new listeners to find us. And if you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And thanks to everybody who is doing that. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of the stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. This coming Monday, financial supporters will see an early release of our last video episode of the year featuring Steve's Partial Mash Wee Heavy. And the general public will see that on Christmas Eve, or at least that's what I plan. I accidentally released the low-key temperature experiment video on Tuesday of this week because I forgot to post it on Monday. I was too mentally occupied with shooting and recording the stuff at Steve's shop that day. And the Wee Heavy episode really is interesting. We line up the grains, the base malt and the specialty grains that Steve used in the brew, and talk about the concept of using, you know, basically a hybrid between all grain brewing and extract brewing to help you save some labor and some effort especially when you're brewing a big old beer like this Wee Heavy. I think the starting gravity was like 1090 or something. It was like a 9.5% alcohol beer. Oh, and it was tasty, too. In addition to that Wee Heavy video, we shot a new video tour of Steve's shop, which should be up on his YouTube channel by the time you hear this. It's hard to believe it. Steve's been in business there for 2 years. It's crazy. The shop is looking great. And by the way, if you're in Northwest Arkansas this weekend, this upcoming weekend on Saturday, Steve's going to have an open house from noon to four. So there'll be snacks and samples and stuff. And I'll be hanging around there, me and my wife, Susan. And maybe my son, Drew. Who knows? While we were recording over at Steve's shop, we also recorded the last audio episode of the year, the annual disaster show, of course. Man, we had a ton of letters this year with stories of brewing gone wrong, some dramatically so. It's it is a long show. It may be our longest show yet. I haven't edited it yet, but I think it's around an hour and a half. But by the end, I was stone cold sober. You know, we recorded it after we did this episode, the hop sampler episode. You know, like I say, by the end, you know, after reading for an hour and a half without being able to sip on my ever-warming glass of beer, you know, I was just fine. Meanwhile, Steve was not encumbered by that duty, so it's his shop, and he was closed that day, so, you know. The show will post next week, of course. And the week after that, we will be off for Christmas to be with our families. So I hope that you have a great holiday season for the rest of the year. Since we are near the end of the year, this may be the last time that you'll be reminded of this special deal. Our sponsor, Poncho of Poncho's Brewing Lab, says he's putting the 20-gallon water cooler on sale for $125 until the end of the year. So make a note of that. And if you use the code BBR at ponchosbrewinglab.com, that's P-A-N-C-H-O-S brewinglab.com, you'll get an additional 15% off. So again, write this down so you don't forget. You know about Poncho's keg cooler. It's the 20-gallon water cooler that you can get with a built-in tap that is specifically designed to house a 5-gallon corny keg. But you can also use the cooler as a huge mash tun. Poncho says he's designed the keg cooler as an alternative to jockey boxes, which he found to be a pain to work with. I've got one. I love it. You've seen pictures of it on my Instagram feed. Poncho's keg coolers are great outside in the summer, and they are awesome inside in the winter as well. You know, while you and your guests are staying warm, the beer keg stays cold in the cooler with ice or surrounding it. You know, while you're in that warm rec room or hunting lodge or, you know, wherever you're having a gathering. Poncho's keg cooler now has a stainless steel retractable intertap faucet, and the keg cooler pro comes with a Senke tap. So the cooler can be used with a sextal or quarter barrel Senke keg in addition to homebrew cornies. So you can also customize your keg cooler at ponchosbrewinglab.com. And don't forget about that $125 deal on the water cooler until the end of the year. And don't forget to use BBR to save an additional 15% on ponchosbrewinglab.com. And thanks very much to Poncho for being a continuing sponsor of the program. There is another end-of-the-year deal that I forgot to mention last week. If you click on our American Homebrewers Association ad on basicbrewing.com and use the code BASICBREW18, you'll get two books, Brewing Classic Styles and Wild Brews, and that is only to the end of the year. So get clicking on that. Again, click on the American Homebrewers Association ad on basicbrewing.com. Use BASICBREW18. It's all one word. BASICBREW18, and you get two books for free when you join. Also, Marshall over at Brewlosophy asked me to remind you that they have a GoFundMe campaign going on to help homebrewer victims of the wildfire in Paradise, California. These are, you know, our fellow homebrewers that not only lost their homes, but of course they lost all their homebrew stuff. They're trying to raise $10,000 and they've gotten more than 4,000. So, we can help them reach their goal. I know homebrewing gear may sound trivial when you're thinking of losing your whole house, but you know, brewing is a part of life for a lot of us. And, you know, it gives us a sense of community. They've got a homebrewing club that they had going on over there. You can hear the whole story. You can go to GoFundMe.com and search for Brewlosophy to find the campaign. And there's a link to audio on that page where you can hear Marshall talk to some of the homebrewers of Paradise to hear what they're going through. So anyway, go to GoFundMe.com and search for Brewlosophy. It's probably the easiest way to find the campaign. So give them a helping hand. And good on the Brewlosophy crew for doing that for those guys. Let's talk about our sponsors, Desiree and Dave from High Gravity in Tulsa. You know, we like bundles of stuff around the holidays, right? Well, High Gravity is offering bundles of gift certificates. If you purchase a $50 gift certificate, you get a $5 certificate at no additional cost. A $100 gift certificate gets you an additional $10 certificate. And if you buy a $1,000 gift certificate, might come in handy for some electric brewing gear, you get a $100 second one at no additional cost. So if my math is correct, you're essentially saving 10%. Smart Santas, take note. This deal is good at highgravitybrew.com till the end of the year. Just shop for gift certificates and be sure to select the bundle option there. You can use these gift certificates toward amazing electric brewing systems that take the pain out of propane. You know, High Gravity has single, two, and three vessel systems from 5 gallons all the way up to 2 barrels. And if you use the code EBC75BB, you can save 75 bucks off your electric gear purchase. We love the folks at High Gravity, and we appreciate their continuing support as well. I love seeing tweets and posts from those of you who have taken the leap into electric brewing. And I expect, you know, to see more of those after Christmas. Head on over to highgravitybrew.com and set yourself up, or send Santa the link with a little hint. Highgravitybrew.com. Okay, let's head on over to Steve's Brew Shop to taste the hop sampler number 6 and talk about hop stand bittering units. Steve Wilkes, welcome back to Basic Brewing Radio.
Thanks, James. I'm happy to be back. Here it is December.
It is December, and we're here in the your office in the Steve's Brew Shop.
That's right. Also known as Studio E. Forever good.
It's exciting.
It's exciting. Yay!
We just got finished shooting a new tour of your shop, which will be on your YouTube channel. Mm-hmm. And then we shot a video episode for Basic Brewing Video with your Wee Heavy, which was delicious. And now we're on to hops.
Yep, it's the hop sampler. Is this like the 7th or 8th one? I've lost track.
It's the 6th.
6th one.
According to my logbook, the 6th.
Okay, I'll go with that.
And I'm gonna introduce a new concept, which I've already briefed you on. Mm-hmm. This, I gotta say first off, before I forget, that your son Chase picked out the hops for this, so we're calling it Chase's Choice.
That's right, Chase's Choice. It'll be my new in-store brand.
And I gotta say, without spoiling too much, I think Chase did a great job. But I took a different approach this time. He picked out these hops, and we've been picking out hops that have similar alpha acid levels, and we add the same amount into each small batch. But he picked out three. He picked out Lemon Drop, which has 5.2% alpha acid, German Mandarina Bavaria, which is 9.2, and Simcoe, which has 13% alpha acid. So I couldn't very well add the same amount in each, because you get different bittering levels.
Right, exactly. So you had to come up with a way to level the playing field, as it were.
Right, as it were. So what?
So to speak.
So what I did was I added a full ounce of the lowest alpha acid one. So let me go over the recipe real quick. I started with 3 quarts of water, filtered water. I started that warming up on the stove, and after it warmed up a bit, I added 1 pound or 450 grams of Pilsen light malt extract. Then, just as that was coming up to the boil, I shut off the heat and I added the hops. And then I let it rest in there doing a hop stand for 30 minutes. After that 30 minutes, I chilled it in an ice bath, and then I added 3 grams of US05 yeast. The original gravity is around 1060, final gravity around 1010 for an ABV of 6%. Now, where this is different is that I added 1 full ounce of Lemon Drop because it had the lowest alpha acid at 5.2. And then I added the other two proportionally according to their alpha acids. So 28, and I used grams because it's easier, 28 grams of Lemon Drop, 16 grams of German Mandarina Bavaria, and 11 grams of Simcoe. So in theory, these should have similar bittering. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Well, actually, at the moment, it doesn't. But I think you're going to explain why it does.
Well, they're just proportional. I mean, if you multiply the amount of alpha acids in the hops, then you can do it proportionally. Like, for instance, I didn't show my work here on this math problem. But if you divide, say, 5.2 divided by 9.2 is a certain percentage. And so therefore, I added that certain percentage of an ounce of or of 28 grams of the German mandarin of Bavaria. So anyway, mm-hmm. Proportionally, I added the same amount of alpha acids into the thing. But that brought up a thing. I said, this may be a way that we can sort of predict or measure bittering level of hops added during hop stands.
Right.
Because people have asked me, you know, how do you predict the bitterness? If you're going to add all your hops post-boil, none of the formulas work for that kind of thing. So how do I know how much to add? And I assume you get that question too.
I get it all the time, and I've never had a really good answer for it. Basically, I just say you won't pick up much bitterness because it's not boiling, but you're going to pick up some. But without – it's almost a trial and error thing. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, and I've always felt a little guilty because I could not tell them a good answer on how to predict the bitterness.
We had Dr. Chris Hamilton on the show a few shows back, you know, and he did some hop stand different temperatures and different times and measured, IBUs. And so you are getting bitterness. You are getting IBUs right. in these hop stands. You just – nobody's figured out how to predict it. So I was inspired, if you remember way back, cast your mind back more than two decades ago when you and I started brewing, there was a thing called HBUs. Or home brewing bitterness units.
Yep.
Do you remember those?
I do remember them, yeah.
And so basically what you would do is you would say, say for instance, and almost everybody brewed 5-gallon batches. So say you wanted to figure out the bitterness of hops to add for a 60-minute boil. Say you had an ounce of Fuggle, say, at 5% alpha acid. You would multiply the number of ounces times the alpha acid, and that would give you your HBUs, your home brew bitterness units for bittering for a 60-minute boil in a 5-gallon batch.
Right.
So say if you had like 2 ounces of that same hop added at 60 minutes in a 5-gallon batch of beer, you would multiply 2 times, say, 5%. And then, you know, you would get 10 HBUs.
Right.
So in that way, you had a benchmark. You could predict how much bitterness that 60-minute addition was going to add to your beer. Are you with me?
I'm completely with you, yes.
And I think that there was another one, AAUs, you know, with it. And these are not IBUs. IBUs can actually be measured in a lab, and, you know, it's a chemical thing that you can put through your spectrometer and all these things. Anyway, so the HBU was just a way to do a benchmark measurement of how much hops should I put in this 5-gallon batch of beer for 60 minutes to get my bittering.
Mm-hmm.
So my thought was, why don't we do something similar for hop stands?
Mm-hmm.
Say if you're like me, and mostly what you do for hop stands nowadays is just bring the wort up to a boil, add your hops in, turn off the heat, and let it sit for 30 minutes. If you do that consistently, batch to batch, you could set a benchmark so that from batch to batch you could figure out how much bitterness those hops that you're adding in that post-boil addition, especially if that's the only ones that you're adding in the beer, how much bitterness those are adding. Are you still with me?
Yeah, I am. And I would say that it's also dependent. Everybody's HSBU is going to be different.
Right.
Because everybody's brew system and everybody's palate is going to be different. So it is just a benchmark.
Right.
It's not a scientific measurement.
Right. Just for you to formulate your own recipes at your own house. Your HSBU, your hop stand bittering unit.
I love it.
So, for instance, what my suggestion for the formula is you multiply the number of ounces times the alpha acid percentage divided by the volume of wort or volume of beer.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, I did my hop stand pale, no boil hop stand pale ale that I did on the show not too long ago. I used 1 ounce of cluster at 6.6% alpha acid, 1 ounce of Calypso at 14.7, half an ounce of Galaxy at 14.1, half an ounce of Citra at 13.3, and half an ounce of Centennial at 9.9. So if you multiply 1 times 6.6, add that to 1 times 14.7, add that times 0.5 times 14.1. So you get what I'm saying.
Right.
You multiply the amount of hops times the alpha acid. You add all of those together, and it was a 5-gallon batch. So then you divide by 5, and the number that I got was 7.99 HSBU, or 7, almost, let's say 8 mm-hmm. hop stand bittering units.
Right.
And forgive metric people, you're going to have to figure out the math on your own. But you know the principle. You're multiplying the amount of hops times the alpha acid, and then and then adding all those together, and then dividing it by the volume of the wort. Does that make sense?
It makes perfect sense. Yes.
So that way, you could do, if you use the same technique, like, you know, of doing a 30-minute hop stand after the end of the boil and adding these hops, if you do the same formulation recipe to recipe, then you can get an idea as a brewer in your own brew house with your own recipe book,
right,
what bitterness that's going to bring. Now, if you do a longer hop stand, or if you do a hop stand at a lower temperature, that's going to change. You're going to get, you know, if you do a longer hop stand, you're going to get some more bitterness. You know, that curve is going to fall off the lower the temperature is.
Right.
Or if you do, you know, a lower temperature hop stand, or if you're outside and it's, you know, 20 degrees outside, your wort's going to cool off. So there are some variables in there into the equation. But this will give you kind of a ballpark. What do you think?
Well, I really like it because it's simple. It's relatively predictable. Just like you said, there are some things that you have to be careful not to allow them to become a variable. Time and temperature needs to be relatively standard. So you just need to decide, I'm going to do a 30-minute hop stand or a 45-minute hop stand. It doesn't really matter as long as you're consistent from batch to batch, because what you're trying to get is the level of bitterness or whatever. It's kind of like, you know, red might look to me, pardon me for a moment with the analogy, red might look to me like a certain color, and it might look a little bit different to you. But if it always looks the same to you and you always know that that's red, then we can agree that that's red.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the same thing here. It might be that, but you do have to have some consistency. You can't, not everything can be a variable. And in that way, the little math formula that you came up with, I think is pretty brilliant. I mean, we'll see how it plays out in the real world, but I really like it because it again reinforces that idea. It's just like efficiency of your grain. Mm-hmm. Everybody's brew house is a little different. People try so hard to hit an exact efficiency because that's what the recipe said it was supposed to be. But your brew house, your brewing system, your methods, et cetera, may be just slightly different enough that from batch to batch, instead of 75% efficiency, maybe you get 65%. I'm making that up. But rather than worry about trying to hit 75, just adjust your recipe to 65, and you'll get the consistent beer you want, because you'll have that same benchmark from beer to beer. It's the exact same principle or analogy to me. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, I'm not trying to establish an international standard.
No.
Where, you know, you can put it on a label, you know, a label on a bottle of beer.
Right.
This has 7 HSBUs.
Right.
You know, it's ridiculous. But this is a way for you to formulate your recipes, especially if you only do post-boil additions,
yep,
so that you can gauge the amount of bitterness that you get.
Yep.
If you do the calculation and you have a benchmark that says this many HSBUs and it's not bitter enough for you, add some more hops, dude.
Yeah.
And then in the next batch, calculate it, See if you're comfortable with that and see if you can duplicate it from batch to batch. Mm-hmm. Now, we have a test here today with this. I feel like I'm on an infomercial all of a sudden.
I know.
What if I were to tell you, Steve, that we have a test here today that lets you test this in real life? What would you say to that?
I'm so tired of always spilling my word on the floor. It's messy when I try to use a microwave.
How can you live without one of these? Wait, don't answer yet. So what I've done here in this hop sampler, since I varied the amount of hops, is this is actually kind of a test in real life of this principle.
Yeah.
I did the math, and I figured out that these three beers each have an HSBU, hop stand bitterness unit, of around 7. One has 6.9, one has 7, one has 6.8. They're very close. So our challenge is to taste these and to see, number one, does it make a difference, since we added a full ounce of lemon drop and less than half an ounce of Simcoe, are we going to be blasted away with the hop character, you know, flavor of one over the other? But what I'm looking for is the bitterness level, because we know from other tests that, you know, we did our first test and it was a full ounce of moderate gravity hops. The next one was a full ounce of alpha acid hops.
Yeah.
The next one was a full ounce of high alpha acid, and we were blown away, but they were like, ooh, that's too much.
Yeah.
So we know that it makes a difference, even in the small batches. So our challenge is between these three to see if this HSBU calculation holds weight, if they are similar in perceived bitterness. What do you think about all that? That's a lot.
That's a lot. You know, I used to listen to Casey Kasem on HSBU. It was 790 on the dial.
That's a long distance dedication. Dear Casey.
That's right.
Dear Casey.
Zoinkstrom!
He was also Shaggy. Did you know that?
No, I didn't know that. Casey Kasem was Shaggy?
Yeah, Casey Kasem was Shaggy.
Shut my mouth.
Zoink Scoob!
Wow.
All right, so, well, I'm tired now.
Yeah.
And we're already 16 minutes in, and we hadn't tasted a dadgum beer. Okay, so here in front of us, we have randomized samples. We're tasting blind here. We got 1, 2, and 3 in front of us. They all look similar, and now they're all warmed up, so we should be tasting good. What are your... do you want to talk about overall impressions of the three samples, as a set before we go into the specifics on the three? To me, Chase's Choice is my favorite so far. These are delicious beers.
These are all very good beers, and I might as well just let the cat out of the bag. I think they're all just almost exactly the same bitterness. Mm. They are just almost clones of each other in terms of bitterness.
Right.
But the hop character of each beer is different. Mm-hmm. And yet, each beer is delicious.
And, to me, as a set, one doesn't jump out as like, wow, this has got a ton of hop flavor. Mm-mm. So, to me, maybe the hop flavor is tied to the alpha acid number. You know, maybe there's just more juice, more stuff in the higher alpha acid, I was expecting, like, for instance, the lemon drop, since there's a full ounce in there, to jump out as being, oh, that's a lemon drop, because that's a lot more hop character. Mm-hmm. No. All three are very similar. The flavor characteristics are very different between these three. I'm amazed at how different these three beers are as far as the flavor components that I'm getting. But the amount of hop flavor and the amount of bitterness is very similar between these three.
So they really are. And, well, you pretty much covered it. I mean, they're really delicious beers, and all three hops are somewhat different. Shall we go into the hops themselves, I guess?
Let's just taste number one and see what our impressions are. I've said that word around you again.
I won't do it.
See what we think about it. Number one.
It's got a nice, I'm afraid to say lemon because then I'm suggesting it's lemon drop, but it does have kind of a lemony flavor. I mean, it might be lemon drop. I'm not really trying to guess, but it does kind of go to that lemony, minty sort of place. Hmm. And it's a very soft flavor. I really like it a lot. It's not piney. Mm-mm. It doesn't go to pine. And I would say that none of these really do. None of these go to pine at all, which is kind of refreshing for a change.
I think it's citrusy. I go with you on citrusy, but I think it tends more toward the grapefruity to me.
Yep.
It's more grapefruity rather than lemon. Boy, it's just delicious. And there's just kind of a tropical fruit thing going on. It's just delicious. I brewed this back on November 19th. Here we are, December 10th. And I bottled them, I don't know, a week after I brewed them. So, they're fairly fresh, so that's good. But, that's delicious. I don't know what it is. So you want to read the description of Lemon Drop?
So this is a description that comes from Crosby Hop Farms. I've been drinking a little bit. Not that much. Lemon Drop. As the name suggests, this unique Hopsteiner aroma variety, descended from Cascade, expresses not just bright lemon fruitiness, but also a sweetness associated with Lemon Drop candy. Herbal notes like green tea and mint also shine, and it describes the aroma profile as citrus, herbal, earthy, and stone fruit.
Mm.
I think it's more like Sly and the Family Stone Fruit, because it's a little funky.
That is your obscure cultural reference for this part of the show. Not saying that I was going to say for the show, but there's going to be more, I'm sure.
Sly and the Family Stone. Who doesn't know about Sly and the Family Stone?
Is that We Are Family?
Yeah, we're everyday people. No, We Are Family is Peaches and Herb, I think, or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, God. That was Reunited.
Yeah, ooh. Reunited.
Yeah. Peaches and Herb. That's a beer for you.
That's right.
I get some peaches.
Get some herb. All right.
Boy, number one is super,
number one is very good.
Super tasty.
Yep.
Okay, number two. Oh, my.
Again, delicious. Mm. I think a little more subdued flavor, a little softer maybe.
Hmm.
What do you think?
I was going to go, I think the lemon character in number two, really, I mean, it's lemony. It's super, yep. To me, it's more super lemony than number one. Not to lead you on, but it's super fruity and just really,
yeah,
it is lemon drop candy to me.
Well, I wouldn't disagree with that. Boy, that's good. Again, though, I don't think it's quite as bright as number one. In other words, it's not the flavor. Well, I don't know. The flavor's just not as bright, but it is. It's very much like a lemon drop candy. So I'll go ahead and call number two Lemon Drop at the moment. I'm with you.
What about the bitterness level between the two? You've been sampling them more.
I think they're exactly the same. I sincerely do. They're very close together. And it kind of makes it even a little harder to pick them apart. Mm. Ever so slightly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Boy, that's good.
Yeah, it is.
Again, these three beers. Woo! I'd love to. I've got some left. Well, I don't have any of the Lemon Drop left. I know where I can get some, though.
Yeah.
In the other room.
That's right.
So should we read the description of the next hop?
Let's do. This comes from hopslist.com. It's the Mandarina Bavaria. It's a daughter of Cascade. Now, that's interesting because so far both have been the progeny of Cascade. Daughter of Cascade, Halle Tower Blanc, and Huel Melon.
Mm.
Mandarina Bavaria originated in Huel, Germany, and was released to the brewing masses in 2012. Wow, the brewing masses.
The teeming masses.
The teeming masses.
Yearning to drink free.
That's right. It is useful for both flavor and aroma and imparts slightly sweet notes of tangerine and citrus, especially when used for dry hopping. And I would completely agree with that. I've used this in a few beers before and definitely think it goes to tangerine.
Mm. which brings us to number three. Again, citrus fruit, but more of a tangerine-y kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe some cantaloupe in there, too. You know, some nice fruit.
Well, we cantaloupe. I'm already married. But, yeah, I'm just so struck at how really nice these beers are. You know, this is kind of the first one that all three beers I thought I would really drink that beer. Mm. And this one, I think, does, yeah, it goes to a little bit of that soft melon. Boy, that's good. I'm sorry I'm not very articulate.
But again, the bitterness level of three compared to the other two?
Absolutely the same. I mean, they're just dead on in terms of bitterness. And very similar beers. I mean, each hop really does play differently in this. They are definitely different. I was trying to remember some of the past ones that we've done where sometimes I wasn't so sure I could pick out the difference between the two or the three. On these, all three are clearly different. So in a way, though, I'm going to back up from what I said a minute ago about it being harder to tell apart. Maybe because we've leveled that playing field, or you did, it allowed the characteristic of the hop itself to come through more than our palates being influenced by a bittering level that may have fooled us in terms of its flavor.
Yeah. And I got to say that I'm enjoying this level of bitterness, this 7 HSBU in this beer. And we also liked the, you know, the full batch of the no boil at 8 HSBU.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so maybe that's the ballpark. Maybe that's, you know, what our my palate, or I don't want to speak for you, but maybe what our palate's kind of like.
They're sure nice beers.
Shall we talk about Simcoe?
Let's do.
Also from hopslist.com.
That's right. It was released to the world in 2000 by Yakima Chief Ranches. It's an American variety and has become wildly popular with craft brewers. With a high alpha percentage and low cohumulin, it makes a very nice fundamental or foundational bittering hop. It's also noted though for its favorable aroma qualities. It has a pleasantly fruity yet earthy, herbal, and piney aroma. Flying Fish used it to create its 10-year anniversary barley wine, 5 editions of it alongside Magnum. Sierra Nevada also uses it in one of their high-altitude bold beers, Hoptimum. It has been referenced as Cascade on steroids.
Mm. That's funny, because I don't get pine with Cascade. I get grapefruit. Just, you know, I don't get a lot of, just me personally.
Well, but the thing is, I always think of Simcoe as a grapefruit hop.
Mm-hmm.
I remember the very first time I ever had it, our buddy Andy Sparks made a Simcoe Smash beer, as I recall, and it was like the first time he had gotten it in his store, and we drank it and went, "Whoa, that's really good," because it's like grapefruit, and it was, you know, that's just always stuck with me. And I like Simcoe; it is very popular.
I can't believe we hadn't done it yet. But I looked at the lists of when Chase, I went down and wrote down all the hops that we had done.
Mm-hmm.
And then when he came up with Simcoe, I was like, you know, I thought to myself, we've done that, but apparently not.
Apparently not.
So there you go. There's the descriptors.
Oh,
and here's the beers. This is the most confident I think I've been in these beers. This is my favorite batch of hops. I like all three beers equally, I think.
I do, too.
They're all three really good.
Yeah, I mean, there's not one of these I wouldn't drink in a heartbeat. And because they're different and yet very similar, these would be nice hops to mix together, I think.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they definitely would complement each other rather than, you know, contrast or pull apart from one another. I think they'd play really well together in a hop bill.
Okay. We ready to guess?
Yeah, but I don't have any confidence. But I'll take a guess. I'll go with... Oh, hang on. Yep. Hang on.
I am confident, but I don't want to sway you.
Okay.
You won't sway me because I'm so darn confident. Just think, we got to record the disaster show after this.
Oh, God, I can't wait.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Lemon Drop is number two. I'm going to go with Simcoe as number one and Mandarina Bavaria is number three.
That's what I picked.
Wow.
I think clearly, number two clearly has the most lemon character in a good way.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, three tastes more kind of melony, and then one was more grapefruity. So...
Let's find out. Here we go.
Which one do we want to open first?
Well, let's do number one.
We're peeling back the duct tape.
And we're saying this is
Simcoe. Oh, it's German Mandarina Bavaria.
Wow. Okay.
Number two is the one I'm most confident. I'm most confident in number two. Lemon drop.
Woo-hoo! So we're right on that. Now we know that this is...
Yeah, we got one out of three.
Okay.
Dang.
Well... That's okay. That's not bad, though.
Yeah, number three is Simcoe. Just to make sure that I didn't put two of one in the other.
Well, I felt like the Mandarina Bavaria was a little more grapefruity, and that's why I picked it as Simcoe.
Yeah, I agree.
Interesting.
I agree. Lemon Drop, I'm glad that number two was Lemon Drop, because it was the most lemony of the three.
Now, I would say, as opposed to a couple of the other hop stand shows that we've done, these beers are all really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
And while we're splitting hairs trying to guess, because it's a fun game to do, boy, I mean, I just would be really happy with any of these beers. Mm-hmm. So the lesson for me is a simple grain bill, whether it's an all-grain beer or an extract beer, and any one of these is a smash beer, you know, a single hop addition or single hop. But also, because of the way they taste, I think they'd be excellent if you were to blend them.
Oh, no. Here he goes. And he's off.
That's what they said about...
Slow down.
Yeah. I was going to make a reference to the King of England, but... Actually.
So something current.
Charles. Not the current Charles. An older one.
Okay, we've blended equal amounts.
Oh my God, that is yummy. That is just spot on. That's a spot of old Dick.
I'd have that looked at.
I don't know.
I hope that's not.
I hope it's not.
We have to look that up.
Yeah. You may have to cut that.
Well, it's already been done.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. Like I say, we got the disaster show next.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my God.
Hey, that's really good.
Blended
together, that's delicious.
That's my favorite concoction of the whole thing. Cheers to Chase.
No kidding. Chase's choice.
Chase's choice.
Yep.
I'm going to have to bring him, I told him I'd bring him some, they're one of each still in your fridge. I'll leave those, but I got to bring him more because he did a good job.
Wow. Well, yay Chase.
All right. So let us know what you think about the HSBU principle, the hop stand bittering unit. Again, not trying to establish something that you publish as a recipe and, you know, go from right. one brewer to another, but just as a way that for you to calibrate your own palates and your own recipes and your own system so that you're not flying blind.
Yeah, I think it's just terrific. And it also reinforces the idea that... Got that. And it also reinforces the idea that...
I'm leaving that in.
Okay. That you do have to brew more than once. I mean, you know, it's not a, you know, you're not making a hot dog in a microwave here. It's going to be, there's a learning curve in this, and it's fun, and that's part of the hobby, is to experiment with different ingredients, in this case hops, and to start to dial in your particular brew house, your particular system, just like every commercial brewery is different. And it brings something different to the party, whether you're at, you know, Victory or New Belgium or Sierra Nevada, hit all three major parts of the country. you know, and each one of their brew houses is different, and that contributes to why their beers are different. Same thing for your home brewery.
Yeah. Whew, that was fun.
Yeah.
Now, before I leave, we'll have to pick out the next batch of hops for the...
Yeah.
And we won't be tied to, oh, we got to pick ones that are similar in alpha acids. So we
did get kind of locked into that box of trying to find, we were approaching it from the bittering rather than from the flavor. So now this frees us up to think about flavor instead of bittering.
Yeah.
Cool.
Woo! Thanks, Steve.
Thank you, James.
Thanks again to Steve. That was a super tasty batch of samples. And thanks again to Chase, Steve's son, for picking them out. What do you think about the concept of the HSBU, or the Hop Stand Bittering Unit? Is that something that might be useful when you're thinking about formulating these recipes that have all these post-boil hops? Drop me a line and let me know. In the meantime, if you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to james@basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com. And please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies, as always, coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. Be sure to check out our DVDs, Extract Brewing and Partial Mashing, Stepping into All Grain, Low-Tech Lagering and Decoction Mashing, and Introduction to Wine Kits. You can find them all on our site. You can get a free Basic Brewing bottle opener with any DVD combo. You can check out our Basic Brewing shirts in the store as well, including our new Brewing Rainbow shirt. And you can find our logbooks, so you can track a log up to 50 batches of beer. Check all that out at basicbrewingshop.com and find our silicone pints, too. It's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website provided by Kelly Dotson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. So long.